Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Back in March, schools and universities across California were shocked when they heard an announcement after a novel virus was making its way across the globe.
UC San Diego announced it will teach its spring quarter classes remotely, online, amid fears of the outbreak.
Most of the students we spoke with are pretty unhappy. They pay big money.
The University of California school system announced they would cancel most in-person classes, sending students home to learn remotely.
Some, including myself, thought people were overreacting, but within a week's time, public schools across the state and across the county would close. A stay-at-home order was issued, meaning families needed to stay indoors, kids required to wear masks when playing outside, and needless to say, my initial assessment was way off.
This is a massive undertaking. It requires investment on a lot of different levels.
While everyone has had to adjust to working from home, parents have an extra role to play, at-home teacher.
It's new for everybody. I don't know anyone who's not feeling a little frazzled.
This shift has led them, as well as teachers across San Diego County, the state, and most of the country, asking themselves, when will this all end? That question has not yet been answered, and it may not be answered for some time.
This school year, for all intents and purposes, again, is over.
From NBC 7 in San Diego, this is Insight, a podcast that dives behind the stories making headlines in your community. In this episode...
The fact that they've been having to make so many changes and will continue to have to make so many changes is just an enormous undertaking.
We look at the dynamic shift San Diego County schools have made to keep class bells ringing at home for all kindergarten through high school students. Parents say it's a struggle.
It's difficult because I'm already tired and my brain is fried, and then I have to help him.
What are districts doing to stay in compliance with health orders, and what tips are out there for parents?
So it's brought, you know, a lot more challenges for both the teachers, obviously the parents, the families.
I'm Dorian Hargrove.
And I'm Tom Jones with NBC7 Investigates. So Dorian, you're a parent of a kindergartner. Can you describe what measures you've taken and what your child's school has done as far as work goes?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a day-by-day, learn each day something new when it comes to at least trying to teach our six-year-old, take over the roles of what teachers are doing. As far as the school goes, you know, we've had an interesting situation where it's been at times somewhat difficult communicating and getting a cohesive kind of message or at least direction. I don't think that's anyone's fault. I think that's just the nature of what's happening.
And how hard is it juggling, you know, work and homeschool?
I mean, you know, I'm working most of the day. My wife is unable to work, and so it's hard. I mean, it's difficult. We have a 3-year-old as well, so it's how do you how do you become teacher, parent, cleaning up the house, cleaning up after them, feeding them. I mean, it's been a very difficult experience, and we're not alone.
You're definitely not alone. And for San Diego County as a whole, parents are feeling that struggle. So to really learn more about what's going on for public school education here in San Diego County, we turn to our newsroom's expert on the topic.
Hi, this is Rory Devine. I've been at the NBC 7 station for more than 30 years, and during at least half of those years, I've been covering education. As a former school teacher myself, this has been the beat that I really love and care about. So for the past 3 weeks, I've been working with a photographer, Elroy Spatcher, and he and I have been covering the county, both doing interviews in person, 6 feet away, even farther than 6 feet away, actually.
My name is Rory. This is Elroy from NBC7. Doing a story about distance learning. So
we appreciate your time.
As a photographer reporter team, we're so used to interacting with people closer than the restrictions allow. So this has been a challenge for us as journalists, but it's also challenging for the people, the teachers we want to interview, because they're so used to being close and affectionate. So we have to tell them, stay back, you know, 6 feet, keep your distance. And this has been a whirlwind of emotions for everyone involved.
Governor Newsom announced he is hoping to open up society gradually, depending on the health crisis. What could that mean for our schools? NBC7's education reporter Rory Devine has that part of the story.
What I have been feeling during the last 3 weeks is how huge this undertaking is for all the districts and for charter schools as well. The fact that they've been having to make so many changes and will continue to have to make so many changes is just an enormous undertaking. I've been very impressed with how the teachers are handling their classrooms and impressed with how the parents have been there to support their children.
And while parents are bringing their A game, it's not easy. And that was the case with two parents we spoke to.
My name is Sabrina Carroll, and I have two children. One is an 8-year-old boy who is in the third grade, and then I have a 6-year-old girl in kindergarten.
This is Gemma Montilla. I have an 8-year-old boy in the second grade, and it's a dual immersion class, Spanish.
Obviously, this has been a very stressful time. I'm wondering if you can explain your situation at home.
We began distance learning just this past Monday, and I don't get to him until about 5 o'clock at night. So it's difficult because I'm already tired and my brain is fried, and then I have to help him. And because I'm not his teacher, I'm his mom, and he's not really, he doesn't listen to me like he does his teacher.
My children, I'm actually also working from home. So my children start their day maybe around 9:30. They're pretty self-sufficient for the most part when it comes to the actual work. I'm actually trying to get in at least 3 to 4 hours worth of online time every day. And we will do like 2 hours in the morning. I'll let them have a break. They'll have their lunch. And then we'll do like another 2 hours in the afternoon just so that they're kind of keeping it fresh.
What's not working well is this is optional. So he's not being graded. I didn't tell him that, but how are they really assessing if they're ready to go to the next grade? So when school starts again, he's supposed to be in third grade. I don't know how they're going to handle the first month or so with the kids not being tested. You know, none of this work is mandatory. So I'm just concerned. My son had his first, it was on Teams. He had his first Teams meeting with his class. And out of 24, there were 14 that showed up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that could be a parent's work schedule conflicting, or maybe it could be that they don't have access. I don't know.
And my son's class, there are approximately 26 kids in his class. None of them have joined. And the teacher has posted several times that none of the children are turning in any assignments.
With students not showing up for class, the question of how students will be graded during a pandemic is one Rory Devine has been trying to answer for parents.
For a couple weeks now, Elroy and I have been reporting that San Diego Unified had been considering a grade change in that grades could not be worse than what students had when they left school or when schools closed, but they could do makeup work and those grades could go up. When I told my son about it and his friends, they said, oh, so if you have an A, you don't have to do anything else. Well, I hadn't thought about that, but I think that if you have an A, you're probably going to continue to work hard, generally. Now, I think it's fair to those students who thought that they might be able to bring up their grades all along, you know, last minute, I think I'll do my makeup work. I think it's fair to them to give them an opportunity to bring up their grades.
There are a lot of unknowns at this point, and that was made clear this week when California's governor said students likely wouldn't be returning to school until September.
This school year, for all intents and purposes, again, is over. But as we look forward through the summer and into the fall, already beginning those conversations, what physically do those schools look like? Can you stagger the times that our students come in? Those are the kinds of things, those are the kind of conversations we're all going to be having over the course of the next number of weeks.
How do you think that's going to work if more people are allowed to go back to work? But their students still need to stay home and learn. Do you think there's going to be some growing pains there?
Wow. I haven't thought about that. How is that going to work? Well, let's talk about high school. They're pretty much on their own. Middle school's on their own. I guess it's going to be talking about elementary school kids. And, I mean, the parents are going to have to leave those children with somebody, right? And they can't just leave them at home, especially kindergarten kids. So whether there's, I think that's another problem.
And that's something that has definitely been on the minds of parents Gemma and Sabrina.
It makes me feel very nervous. Teaching, unfortunately, was not my calling. So I am doing my best and I am putting in as much time as I can. But of course, I'm only one person. I have two children. My husband is an essential worker as well. So he's gone all day. So finding the balance of, you know, making sure that I'm upholding my obligation to work, but at the same time, trying to make sure that my kids don't fall behind. In my mind, I think for a short period of time, yeah, I can probably manage it. But for an extended period of time, I have no idea what that looks like.
I feel the same way. I'm nervous and I'm anxious. And I don't know if I mentioned my son is in a Spanish dual immersion. So I'm very concerned. I don't speak Spanish. I know a little bit, but I don't speak it fluently. So I'm worried he is going to lose that skill.
Out of the little over 500,000 kindergarten through 12th grade students in San Diego County, 20% are English learners. And nearly 80% of those English learners have listed Spanish as their primary language. That's according to state data from the 2017-2018 school year.
And, you know, it's so important to also keep in mind that there are other students and other kids out there that have special needs and that need more attention or more direction.
We did a story on kids with special needs. And right off the bat, they said that this is going to be a challenge for them because now we're having to put them in front of a computer where usually a computer for them is relax time. So, or a TV screen or a monitor. So for them, that it's going to be more of a challenge. So it can't look the same. So if you give them screen time, it has to be much less because they associate it with something else.
What I'm worried about and what I think the district is worried about are those children who may not have the support at home. Elroy and I have been speaking a lot about doing a story about homeless children, for example. How are they getting the support they need? Earlier in our adventures here, we interviewed a teacher from Sherman Elementary School who was packing up all her belongings because she had to move out of her classroom so she could start the distance learning. And she became very emotional when she talked about the children at that school. She said, for some of these kids, this is their home. School is their home. We're their moms. We're their dads. She said, I worry about my homeless children who are living in Tent City. Ironically, the next night it rained, and I thought about her thinking, she's probably worried about where are her kids tonight.
So what advice do experts have for parents having to teach and work from home? We wanted to ask a professor of education to answer that question for us.
My name is Reyes Quesada. I'm a professor at the University of San Diego in the School of Leadership and Education Sciences in the Department of Learning and Teaching. Don't let your kids sleep till 11 o'clock in the morning just because you're in middle school or high school. So try to keep to the same schedule, maybe not as early as, you know, 6:30 or 7, but, you know, your traditional 7 to 8, 8 to 9, having some kind of
mealtime, having some learning time throughout the day. So it's not learning from 9 to 3 p.m. either, you know, similar to the school, but more maybe having it in incremental times. But having that learning time, the creativity time, obviously including in some movement, which would be your kind of exercise time. Also, I think the children also need somewhat of a silent time. And again, where everything is maybe off at that time, whether silent reading or not a relaxing time, but more of a just a silent period, quiet time that they have. Using the home environment as a teaching tool, especially with the younger children, you know, kind of how do you become, how do you use the learning environment at your home to support teaching different areas?
If you had a message or advice for not just parents, but our teachers as well, who are going through this right now, what would that be?
I would say I am so impressed by how you've handled this situation. My hat's off to you.
Stay strong. They're figuring it out. It will get better.
My closing thoughts are, you know, for parents, I know that it's hard. If you think about their school day, yeah, they're there all day, but they're doing so many other things that they're not spending the whole day actually studying. So if you could get in any time for them, you know, it would benefit them in the end.
It is true. They don't need 4 or 6 hours of learning. They were socializing. They were exercising. So I want to also concur with what Sabrina said, 1 hour, 1.5, that really is all they need. You can teach math several different ways. If they're in the kitchen, show them the measuring cups. So there are other ways to teach them, not so much in a formal setting if that's difficult for a lot of people. But hang in there, everyone. We'll get through this. We're a pretty resilient group, all parents.
For more tips for parents on homeschooling, click the link in our show notes or search Insight on NBC7.com.
Insight is a podcast from NBC7 San Diego. If you like what you're hearing, we could use your support. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. That's how we can continue providing this insight into our reporting.
Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay healthy.